This episode is brought to you by Visit Ithaca, home of New York's craft cider. I love New York. Plan your getaway at visitithaca.com.
We've tried this once before, booking a guest the day before they opened, that is. And the last time, well, we had a quiet line. Today, though, our guest has made the time to chat with us on how he, along with his partner, plan to open their doors tomorrow to their new concept housed in a 150-plus-year-old iron foundry outside Philadelphia.
We're happy to welcome to the show Nicholas Elmy, former Top Chef winner and a James Beard finalist, on the show today. In light of what I am sure and we know is a very, very busy last-minute schedule, Nick and his partner Fia will be opening Lark, a coastal Mediterranean restaurant housed atop Ironworks at Pincoid Landing, officially tomorrow. So thank you for joining us and I know what is probably a very crazy day.
Welcome. No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Pleasure. So tomorrow is the big day. I hear from your communications team that it's been 2 years in the making.
Yeah-ish. You know, ish. We started working on this project pre-pandemic. Obviously, things slowed down through, especially the first part of the pandemic. You know, this used to be an old ironworks factory. They made all of the iron and steel for the city of Philadelphia, building bridges and stuff back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And then it kind of fell into disrepair and was actually ended up being a dump in like a garage for a really long time.
Like a literal dump, like a garbage dump.
Literally a dump, yeah. And then, you know, our partner here, Donna Galvin and her husband, Sean, who opened Penn Real Estate Group and Penn Renewable Energy here. They bought this area like about 20 years ago. And, you know, it's, you know, in restaurant world, it's so funny because we're in real time. We're thinking about today and the next day and maybe the next week where, you know, developers are thinking 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the road. But yeah, they've really just kind of wiped this place clean, built a gym, built a hotel, built their offices. We put in a couple of restaurants. We're going to probably build a couple of event spaces and possibly another hotel within the next couple of years. It's really kind of taken off over the past year and a half as we've kind of settled in here.
And tell us for listeners that are not familiar with the Philadelphia area, tell us about how where it is. I mean, I can see from a map that it's, you know, 15 minutes up from the city proper, but what's there? Who's going there? Is it local Philadelphians going out for a night out?
Well, technically speaking, we're about 200 yards from city proper. We're 200 yards away from City Line Ave, which is the outskirts of the border of Philadelphia. Philadelphia is one of the largest, I think it's the fourth largest city in the United States, landmass-wise. Like, you can drive up 95 for 25 minutes straight and still be in Philadelphia. But yeah, we're right outside Philly on the, out in the main line. The main line is, kind of like a residential area, just a little bit northwest of the city. So, you know, good news is it only takes us about 20 minutes to get downtown and back. And it takes me about 25 minutes to get to my restaurant in South Philadelphia. I don't know. The original idea of being out here was to just kind of develop a couple of spaces, and especially with the cafe downstairs, the landing kitchen. It was like, all right, we have this gigantic outdoor space. Let's try to turn it into a community area with great food and great service. And we have like, you know, 10,000 square feet of outdoor space. We built a couple bocce courts. We have some cornhole. We put in an ice cream shop, which is kind of fun. It serves ice cream and cocktails. And then upstairs on the 7th floor, which is our rooftop restaurant, Lark, we wanted to give everybody a reason in the main line to not go to Center City. We have a beautiful restaurant with outstanding views, you know, free parking. That's always nice. You know, you don't have to drive into the city. Yeah, it's just a little bit more convenient, but we wanted to keep like that Center City vibe going out here as well with the food, with the decor, with the drinks, kind of all around.
How did you meet your like, how did you meet your real estate developer partners? I feel like that this is like always, it's like, it's always, you go from this small restaurant, then you meet a developer, and now you have these two large projects. How can people help replicate that? How do you find partners like that?
Honestly, it was my wife's cousin's friend. This gentleman named Stuart, who works for Donna. She owns a couple of other hotels far outside of the city, like an hour and a half, 2 hours outside of the city. And he was managing for the hotels. And he is friends with my wife's cousin. And he was like, oh, talking about the project that he was working on. He was like, the woman that we're working with is opening another hotel. She wants to put in some F&B spaces. Do you know anybody that could help consult? And she was like, oh, my cousin just happens to be a chef. You should talk to him. And he got in touch with me and came out here and looked at the space. And at first it was kind of like, hey, this is a dump. Like, this is
this is a literal dump. This is literally a dump.
But as I talked to Donna and saw her vision kind of through her eyes and what she was thinking about in Philadelphia, and I think a lot of cities, are notorious for underutilizing their waterfront spaces, Philadelphia specifically with the rivers and stuff. And her whole vision was to create a community center on the Schuylkill River in the Main Line. And she's done just that. And it's quite beautiful down here. You feel like you're part of nature. Everything that we've built is at the point of the Pencoyd trails. So there's like 7 hiking and biking trails that like kind of intersect right where we are right now. So on the weekends, that's awesome because it's all bikes and puppies and families just chilling outside, hanging out, relaxing, eating some fried chicken sandwiches, some avocado toast, playing some cornhole and just running around. It's pretty nice.
So when you came into the space 2 years ago with Donna, it was still an abandoned foundry, or it was already
cleaned out? So we actually kept the original framing from the old factory up and just brought it down to the iron studs and then built a hotel right in the center of it. So it's kind of, if you can visualize that.
Tell us a little bit about, I'm curious, you know, there's probably a big difference in design and, you know, concept being established when you do your own 22-seat restaurant versus working with a developer. What kind of input were you able to have? You know, is it all based on the relationship on all those things? Can you kind of tell us about the early stages of the process and how involved you were able to be, given that I'm guessing somebody else was paying the majority of the build out?
Oh, I mean, we had majority control over design and function. The only thing that was already kind of set before we came in, like they had already designed and started building the foundation of the hotel. So the restaurant spaces were already divided out between kitchen and front of the house. I would have certainly made the kitchens a little bit bigger, but came a little bit late to the game.
I've never met a chef who's like, my kitchen is too big. I could definitely
If you've ever seen the restaurants in South Philly, the restaurant at Laurel is 10 feet by 15 feet. The restaurant at ITB is, I think, 14 feet by 12 feet. And the restaurant downstairs at the Landing is also quite small. And you know, on a Sunday, I think what we'll do, like, 850 to 950 people.
Oh, wow.
Little tiny kitchen with a 6 burner and a plancha, and those guys just crush it, and it's amazing. A lot of organization.
So you didn't get to pick the square footage. What others? But from there you had creative reign.
So when I first met Don and started talking about this project, I thought it was definitely just going to be like a consultation thing, which I've done before. Like, I'll come into a restaurant that is struggling and kind of fix the food a little bit, maybe hire a new chef, write a new menu, you know, and then kind of disappear. And I've all done consulting as well, where I show up, I do all of the hiring, the training, the menu writing, get the place up and running, and then I kind of bounce. But as we got further and further into this project, it was pretty apparent that
She wanted somebody that was going to be here for the long haul. She wanted somebody to help with design and management of the restaurants. And that's when I kind of decided that the job was actually a little bit too big for me and I needed help. And I contacted a friend of mine named Fia Barisha, and we formed our own hospitality business, and we've been, it's called Be Hospitality. And we've been working on this project since. She comes from Elements in New Jersey, as well as Mistral in Princeton and King of Prussia. She owned her own restaurant in Fishtown called Ether. We've been friends for a while, and you know, she does all the design and front of the house work, and I get to take care of the kitchen. So far, so good. It's worked out pretty well.
And so the first venture together with the Bee Hospitality Group was the downstairs, the landing.
The landing kitchen, yeah.
Yeah. And that one opened in March.
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. Don't call me ma'am. I'm not that old. Awesome. And so tell us a little bit. I saw that you're opening tomorrow. You'll be open Wednesday through Saturday upstairs. Tell us about that decision to open four nights a week. Is that a staffing thing? Is that you're just trying to figure it out?
It was 100% a staffing thing.
Got it.
You know, we actually started doing the same thing at Laurel in South Philadelphia, and I like it. We push everybody really, really hard for 4 days a week, and then everybody gets a 3-day weekend. And we have great teamwork. Everybody is really into it. Everybody has been like crushing it. The restaurant has been doing better than it's ever done. Not only in terms of food and service, but financially. I think, you know, we're making less money, but we're making a higher percentage of profit. And I think when we looked at it out here, we're like, all right, well, the staffing issue is what the staffing issue is. It's not like we're going to be able to dodge it. Everybody else is falling into that trap right now. So let's see what we can get and who we can get out here and make a decision then. And we were like, all right, well, let's start it 4 days a week and see how it goes. And if we can get a bunch of people in here to work 4 days a week really hard and do well and make the numbers work, then we'll stick with it. If we can't, then we'll adjust. But right now, this is where we are.
Are you fully staffed for tomorrow?
I mean, by fully staffed, meaning I get to work.
Protein. Are you going
to
be there?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so for the, because this is, Laurel's is a much smaller restaurant from what I know, right? It's like a 22 seats. And this is quite a large operation, like 250, right?
Well,
ish.
You know, we have about 80, well, it depends on how you look at it. We have about 80-something seats in the dining room, 20 seats at the bar, 30 seats on the terrace, and then we have a private dining room that can do about 60 people. So, you know, if we had all of our – everybody staffed and in place where they need to be, yeah, we could definitely do like 250, 300 people a night. But I think we're going to keep it at like 100, 120 right now until we can continue to ramp up.
And the financially that works out for the restaurant and the partners and you guys it's okay. That's fine. That capacity.
Yeah. We look at it as we are where we are right now. Let's at least get open and make everything great. We're not going to overexert ourselves and overexert our staff and try to just cram a bunch of people in there and try to make,
yeah.
Let's do it right. You know, and slowly build on that.
It's interesting. I mean, I think people don't think about that the same way what you said about the profit margin is higher, even though you're bringing in less money, which is, I mean, I think it's an important way to look at it. You know, it's like if your margin is better, you're technically taking home more at the end of the
yeah.
day, even though your gross receipts are less. I do appreciate that. And what about, how's it been just like recruiting people to a new area that maybe not be as well known as like, you know, your area in South Philly or Center City where people are used to going out to?
We keep trying to harp on the idea that, you know, we're a 5-minute walk away from a SEPTA stop. We are, you know, 20 minutes from Center City if you're driving. We have free parking. You don't have to drive around South Philadelphia to look for parking here, which is, you know, probably the premier convenience for me right now. So I don't have to park at the Acme. It's just been difficult recruiting people all around. I think that we've kind of all, we've all pulled strings to try to find people to come out here and be hands. And once people get out, once we get people out here, I feel like we like trap them. You know, like, oh wow, this is actually really cool, and this is really convenient, and this is very beautiful, and it's easy to work here, and it's actually quite fun. You know, once we get them here, we're good. Getting them out here, that's the trouble.
Yeah. And what about from like the diner perspective? Because it's obviously with the landing, it's like it's very visually there. You're like you said, people are walking down the park and they just see that they can grab, you know, avocado toast and chicken biscuits and whatnot. But for a 7th floor restaurant in an up and coming neighborhood, how are you guys getting the word out to diners? What are you, what's the thoughts there?
I mean, we work with Gia and Bailey.
That's right.
We work with Fox Glove Communications, and they talk to everybody. I mean, Philadelphia is a large town or a small city, however you want to consider it, even though it's a gigantic landmass-wise city. Like, Center City proper is pretty tiny, and everybody knows everybody. And, you know, I think we get the word out pretty quickly when things are happening. And Philadelphia consumer likes to think that they have their thumb on the pulse of everything that's going on food wise in the city. So, you know, we stay in the presses. So pretty much.
Tell us a little bit about, because it's your, I guess, technically your third restaurant, how, and you will be on the line tomorrow. How do you manage your presence at these different spots? I would assume that, the landing is, you know, sort of smooth sailing. It's a little bit more of a casual menu, so it can probably operate a little bit more on its own. But Laurel is your baby, right? So
yeah,
how do you manage your presence in both spots?
Hire really good people, train them, and tell them what you want them to do, and then leave them the fuck alone. Oh, sorry.
You can curse.
That's fine.
It's okay. We're not.
And you have been able to do that, because as we are talking about hiring and
yeah,
such.
Yeah, I think Laurel... we've changed our payroll practices there. It's this thing that we've been trying out, and it actually works really well, but it only works with a really small team. And we only have 11 employees there. So actually everybody makes the same amount of money. Everybody makes $10 an hour plus tips. So at the end of the week, cooks and servers and bartenders and runners, everybody kind of ends up making anywhere between $35 and $45 an hour. So we don't really have a problem finding people to work there. And because like people in Philly kind of know that, like, if you're really good and you're really serious about food and service and working in a kind of intense restaurant for 4 days a week and having a 3 day weekend and making good money, you know, that's the place you go. And I have a chef who works there who has been with me off and on, I think, for 6 years. So he understands the expectations there. He understands what needs to happen. And he understands, like, you know, what the food needs to be, what the service needs to be. We have spectacular front of the house there. Like really, really, really lucky with the front of the house right now there. It's not that I don't worry about it all the time. I am there almost every day, at least to walk through and taste stuff and say hi and make sure everything's okay. But yeah, right now I'm spending the bulk of my time out here.
And is that how you foresee it, you know, as things grow and scale? And you scale more restaurants, maybe it sounds like you have other plans down the line. You just continuing to train people and get them in place.
Yeah. The chef that we have out here now, Mike Millen, he's technically in charge of both restaurants, Landing and the Lark. He has a great background, in Mediterranean and Italian food. He was a sous chef at a Voce before coming to the city and working at Townsend and then opening his own restaurant called the Mono that got great reviews. And we actually work really well together. It's one of those people you meet, and he's such like a calming presence. It just kind of like we clicked very, very quickly. And yeah, right now it's about making sure we're on the same page with what we want out of this restaurant, what we want this restaurant to be, how we want to train our staff and treat everybody, and how we want to move forward. You know, I think if I give this three to six really good months and really build the staff up here and really train hard, you know, it'll be most likely on the next project.
And so what, so tomorrow's the opening day ish. Well, I guess you guys technically had a soft opening last weekend.
Yeah, we had a couple.
Couple stuff.
Yeah. Well, tell us some of the learning experiences you garnered from your soft opening.
You know, it's typical. Actually, this was probably the easiest, most organized opening I've ever been part of. You know, we have people on staff here that actually really understand the needs of the guest and the needs of the business. And we were in a really, really good position training wise and food wise to be open. You know, the only thing is, you know, again, the amount of staff we have isn't great. The quality of the staff we have is pretty spectacular, which I was very surprised about. You know, so, you know, if I'd rather have four people in the kitchen who are all stars than 10 people in the kitchen who I have to babysit all the time. And that's where we're at right now. So we're just going to have to slowly build on that. But last week went really well. You know, best laid plans. You always think you know what you're doing until you start doing it. When it's in the kitchen, it's like, it's little stuff. Like, oh, my salt doesn't go there. It goes here. It's like, oh, I got to move my pans this way. And my spoon bang can't go over here. It has to go over here. And why, you know, it's all funny things. I think we made a lot of good adjustments over the weekend. So I'm excited for tomorrow.
Cool. Give us a, because we don't often get people the day before. Give us a glimpse at your schedule for the next 24 hours.
I don't know. It's minute to minute.
Yeah. I don't know. I have like 20 more things on my prep list that I have to get done today before I have to meet with the general contractor and figure out how to fix the heat lamps. And then for some reason, there's a hole in the wall in the kitchen that they just never filled in that I'm probably just going to have to do myself. And then I want to take a sink out. I need to build a new equipment stand, reorganize some of the plates in dry storage because I don't like where some of the stuff is right now. Hopefully at some point get home and have dinner with my wife and kids. And then I actually took, since we've been working so hard for the past 3 weeks straight, I actually took the past 2 days off and literally slept for 2 days in a row. And I haven't answered one email. And I know G and Bailey are pretty pissed at me right now. Opening week in the backlog of, hey, this person needs this quote and this person needs that. And I'm just like, you know what? I have stuff to do. So, and sleep to catch up on.
Got to take care of that sleep. That is like a real thing. We were just talking about this.
A little bit of a deficit right now.
A little bit of a deficit between kids and new businesses.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Ithaca, helping you to plan your next getaway. Ithaca has waterfalls and wineries, art and theater, outdoor recreation, and family fun. The area is famous for its glacier-carved gorges, co-op-run businesses, and cultural influences from Cornell University and Ithaca College. Plus, you can't beat the beauty of Cayuga Lake, the largest of the Finger Lakes. Beyond 150 waterfalls and some of the region's best hiking trails, Ithaca is cider. The area is well known for its local cideries, which are leading the way in America's cider revival. You can hear from the region's cider makers directly on HRN series Hardcore. There's something really special about Ithaca's climate for cultivating delicious apples steeped in history and terroir. Let Visit Ithaca help you plan your next trip to this hub of food, drink, culture, and agritourism. Home of New York's craft cider, I love New York. Get started at visitithaca.com.
All right, let's lightning round. We do these questions with pretty much every guest that comes on the show. So, favorite menu item?
Probably the mushroom ravioli with foie gras hazelnut butter.
Sounds good.
Normally we say most ordered menu item, but that won't pertain here. What's your best food cost item? You probably have that.
We have smoked trout madeleines with seaweed butter and fermented black radishes. Food cost on that, I think, is like 13%, which is kind of nice, but don't tell anybody.
You just told all of our listeners.
It's often the labor that adds up in those dishes, so
yeah.
It balances out. tell us your best business resource, and you know, it can be something you used for this restaurant, for the Landing, or for Laurel, and that could be podcast, it can be a friend, it can be a book or a website or whatever.
My best business resource. Oy. We work with this new company, HFA Bridge, that does all of our business accounting. And it's one of those companies that we get real live, we get real time costs of our restaurant. So every morning I wake up, it's not only do I know what we made and lost the day before, but the entire week, the entire month, the entire year. So like every day I wake up and I know how the restaurants are doing, what position they're doing, and how they're doing for the rest of the week, which actually helps really well, because we can go into a Friday and say, hey, ordering's a little high this week. You got $300 to spend for the rest of the weekend. And that's like, everybody falls in line pretty quickly. Same thing with booze and labor and stuff like that. It's kind of nice.
Interesting. HFA
Bridge. Yep.
And is it like a technology platform?
No, it's my friend's accounting company that he started. He worked with another company called Citrum and Cooperman. They kind of tag teamed this idea, and I think they have like 120 restaurants signed on right now. Wow. It's just kind of cool real-time accounting for your restaurant.
It's not the first time we've had somebody say, Mason said that down.
I think we've probably, too, right? At least once a season, we get a shout out to an accountant, but yeah. This is the first time I've heard, of like a firm doing real time report. Like, I kind of want to sign up. I'm like, I want to know our, like.
Dude, the first 2 years of Laurel, I did the accounting myself. And I was like, this is stupid. Like on one, I'm not even good at it. And two, it takes up at least a full day of my week. We had another accountant that did it for a while and he was okay. He was just an accountant. And then these guys swooped in and showed us what they were about and what they were doing. And we've been with them for a while now. And it's invaluable, man, to know how, I mean, our margins are so thin. Like, you need to know every day what you're doing. You can't wait till the end of the month to figure out like what's going on with your business, or even the end of the week. You know, I know every single day what's happening and how we're doing and what we look like. And then you can compare it to, you know, the amount of reservations you have coming in for the rest of the week, and you know where you're going to end up. So.
And I think this echoing Mason's point of is what you said, is having someone that knows restaurants, that knows this business, doing your accounting, rather than someone that could be doing all types of accounting. I think it's very important because it is so unique and, like you said, razor thin margins that need to be accounted for every day.
Are they national or just in or just local to Philly?
It's a great question. Believe they're just local to Philly, New Jersey right now. Citrin Cooperman, the accounting team that they work for, is like all over the place. They're a funny story. I think they started off doing like rock bands in the 70s and then broke off like helping manage, like, I forget, it was like some big, in the 70s it would have been considered a big band, I forget who it is now, but then they started breaking off into doing small businesses and then doing restaurants, and then they teamed up with HFA Bridge. It's a Philadelphia-based company, and they've just been kind of, I've introduced them to all of my chef friends in the city just because they help out so much.
Well, don't be surprised if you get a few DMs from opening soon, listeners.
I know. I think I cut like a break or something. Like,
I know. You're like, where is
my referral fee? A friend discount or something.
All right, last question. Any anticipation, excitement things for the weeks to come? Are you worried about or excited for reviews or people staying or whether you're busy or not? What's on your mind? What's keeping you up when you're not sleeping 2 days in a row?
Honestly, it's just supply chain issues. It's been brutal this past year. I'm sure you guys are very well aware.
We know that. Just got told fabric won't be here until February.
Exactly. It's stuff like, okay, we picked out this silverware in May. You told us 6 weeks. It's the week before we're opening, and now you're telling us it's 10 more weeks.
I know. Just be nice to your vendors, too.
I know. I know they listen. I get it.
I know.
After a while, you know, it's like,
I know.
Just everything. It's everything, though. It's like, you know, we'll get the same pickles for a month straight, and then they're like, hey, we don't have those anymore. Tough shit. And you're like, cool. And that's the end of it. There's no arguing. There's just, you know, we're in a strange time right now. And I think what we've all learned is that we kind of just have to keep rolling with the punches and doing what we can do. You know, even if it's 95% right, it's still going to be really good. And our job is to just make people happy and make things tasty and not freak out about it. Even when it's like a multi-tasting course menu at Laurel or a fried chicken sandwich at the Landing. It's like, listen, we're going to do everything we can do to just make things tasty and enjoy our job and move on with our lives. Like, try not to get freaked out about it.
I mean, I think 90% right is like, that's like a pandemic right for 100%.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I'm going to say moving forward.
We keep calling it COVID cover.
COVID cover.
Yeah.
I like it. Awesome. All right. Opening soon announcements. Obviously, you guys are opening tomorrow, which is very, very exciting. Any other friends or places you've been recently you want to shout out?
I wish.
You've been sleeping. Yeah. You've been working and then sleeping.
No, my friend Kevin opened a new restaurant in Fishtown called Yanaga, which is really great. It's nice seeing all the rest of the restaurants come back online in Philadelphia. You know, not all the restaurants are coming back, but the ones that are coming back are usually the ones that are like, you know, good restaurants with good people running them. You know, like a lot of the restaurants that closed are restaurants that, you know, a lot of the employees didn't want to go back there. It's like, well, we can't open. We have a staffing shortage. It's like, oh, it should have been nice to your staff.
Right.
But I think we're just excited to keep cooking and keep slowly climbing out of this pandemic and getting people back out and eating again.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, we know you still have 20 things on your punch list, so we will let you get back to it. Thank you for joining us the day before your official opening. And congratulations. Can't wait to check it out.
Thanks. And tell us where everybody can find you on social and your restaurants.
On social, it is Nicholas Elmy on Instagram. I'm not on Twitter or Facebook anymore. And then we have Laurel EPX, Lark.PA, The Landing Kitchen.
Cool. And we are at We Are Opening Soon and at Till at NYC. Thanks again, Nick, and good luck.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Opening Soon is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter, enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org, and connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You could also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. And thanks for listening.